Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast. You guys are joined by our regular host. We have Rishabh, Aniket, Mazhar and myself, Shubham. But today's episode is very special. We are joined by an elite footballer, Zohaib Khan. Hi Zohaib, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, bro. Completely.
Now Zohaib, like I said, is an elite footballer. He's played in the India Under-17 camp. He's played for Mumbai FC in the I-League, Mohammedan Sporting Club in the I-League, Bank of India in the elite division, and a host of other clubs. So here is a player who has been there, done that, and is continuing to pursue and grow bigger in Indian football. And like I said, it's a pleasure to have you on board. Now, Zohaib, first thing I would like to know from you is, obviously, you've been in football for such a long time. Was it always your passion to pursue football growing up, or were you in different sports as well?
No. So I was just a very average runner. And then I used to go for these athletic meets when school used to conduct. And then I realized, like, you know, this running is not really happening. Like, I should just try into some sports. So I started playing basketball and it didn't work really well. So I came into football. And more than anything, I started enjoying football. Like, it, and then slowly, slowly with time, I realized that this is really my passion. And this is something what I really want to do in life. If I could make it as a career, you know, it's always amazing to have a hobby converting into a career.
Of course.
So yeah. In school itself, I realized that, you know, football is something that I really want to do all my life, or at least play all my life.
So fun fact for all our viewers and listeners, other than the fact that Zohaib is an amazing footballer, he was and still is an amazing dancer also. And that's why I actually met Zohaib. So Zohaib, yeah. You mentioned that you were in school and you decided that you want to take up football.
Yes.
But you know, when, like, in your early years, when you're in school, and especially given India, people are still hesitant to make football as a career, to get into sport, forget football, get into sports entirely as a career. So when were you, like, completely clear in your head that this is what I want to do and this is how I'm going to pursue it?
So I'll tell you what, sadly, a lot of schools, they don't have football. And what happened was I changed, like, some four schools, clearly. So two of my schools didn't have football. So what happened was, when I was playing at the grassroots level, like when I was in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, that St. Xavier's had football. And then I came to the school called Janki Devi. And they just had like one football period in the whole week. Okay, they would just give us a ball and then they would be like, go kick and have fun and just come back. And then I went to this another school, which was again St. Xavier's, which was in Mia Road. It was another branch of St. Xavier's, where I started playing football. So then I again got to play football. And then I came to again Andheri. And then the other school, where it was a hostel. So you didn't really have a lot of facilities there. And that didn't have football again. That just was a simple school that didn't have any other sport. Like, if even if we had sport, it was like, you know, holding a book and just playing cricket and stuff, shit like that. So it wasn't really a sports-oriented hostel or something like that. People were just sent to like study and then come out of it. So that's how it is. And when I was playing in school, that time I didn't know that I wanted to play professionally. As I passed out, and then I realized that, you know, there are these academies, Mahindra Academy, and then there's Mumbai FC Academy, and then there were like certain academies that time, which had under 15, under 16, under 17. And then I started just going and playing with them without joining them as a club professionally. I just started going and playing with them. And then with time, I realized that, you know, Mahindra under 17, the coach had asked me, hey, would you like to play with us professionally? Like, you know, coming there and learning. There was no money involved, obviously, because you're like 17 and India was not that great at that time in terms of infrastructure-wise. Now it's become a little better. But that time, they didn't really have anything. So what happened was, then I got selected for Mahindra under 17 and then I started playing with them. They had this thing called player development program and they selected me for that. And then that's when I realized that, you know, okay, let's take this as a hobby and as a profession where I can play at least part-time, because football was just like, that time you didn't have to go to the gym and, you know, work on your injuries and recover from your injuries and, you know, a lot of other stuff, because you're young and then you're like, you just want to play. And that's how
you turn up and play.
Every day in the afternoon, like from 3 o'clock to evening 5, and then just go ahead with your day, normal school, normal tuition, normal college and stuff like that.
So, yeah. You know, interestingly, before I bring my co-hosts in, and I'm sure they have a bunch of questions. So you started playing for Mahindra Football Academy in these different academies, at, like when you were already 15 or 16, so as to say.
Yes.
And then you got a chance India Under 17 camp. So how was that journey for you? Or can you tell us a little bit about how you got selected? How was your experience in the India Under 17 camp? And like that entire process.
So what happened was Mahindra used to play this league called I League, which is like the I League of Under 17 players. Okay, and then the coach who was at that time Diego Kashyap and Santosh Kashyap, Diego Fernandez and Santosh Kashyap, so Farooq sir, they were the main coaches that time. So Sir Farooq told me that they have this camp, and he obviously had his reference and he had his contacts, and he told me there's a camp happening. If you go for the trial, if you get selected, they'll keep you in the camp. And it was like an academy, like they look after your the studies, and then you stay with them. You stay with the academy itself, which was in Kolkata that time. So yeah, so I was there with the academy, and then they had this. They didn't have like an open trial, but they were calling players who played for some club. Like they would ask where you played, and only then you would be like, if you played for some amateur club, then they wouldn't probably even want you to attend the trial. If you've played for some club, or you've represented something, if you've played the local league, the district league, something like that, then they would appreciate you, and then they would welcome you in the camp.
So you've traveled a little bit, right? You've talked a little bit about...
Not a little bit, but a lot.
A lot, sorry. Not a lot.
Traveled a lot.
Definitely an underestimation. No, yeah. You've been throughout, to a lot of different areas in India. Zohab, can you speak a little bit about how culture is in terms of love for football as you've traveled across, especially going to Northeast Calcutta?
So I have to tell you this. When I was in Northeast, they are mad about football, like crazy about football. The football, like it's like how we celebrate cricket. For them, it's football. Cricket, I can actually say this, cricket doesn't really exist over there. And football is celebrated. Like even if a small club wins, like they have all kinds of advertisement, all kind of marketing for football. Even for the smallest game, you'll see a crowd of like, say, 2,500, 3,000 people coming to watch the match. Even for the smallest first division league and stuff like that. If you play in the Shillong Premier League where I played, there the stadium used to be full and people would come and cheer for you. Like, honestly, I've played for Mumbai FC, but after the match, I would come out of the stadium, or we would come out of the practice. I've played the elite division here. I'm already playing Bank of whatever. So, as in when you step out of the stadium, people don't give a shit. Like, they don't know you. You're just an average person walking on the road. Like, you're just like a normal man. But in Shillong, if you step out of the stadium, people look up to you. Like, you're literally, people will stare at you. Okay, oh, this guy's a player. You get that celebrity feeling. Someone, yeah. So, yeah, that's how it is in Northeast. If you're a football player, you're respected, And the same thing is in Kolkata. Kolkata, like even for the smallest thing, you'll see yourself. If you've scored a goal, you'll see yourself in the newspaper the other day. And if you've done something really amazing, you'll get calls from the agents and stuff like that. So Kolkata and Shillong, I've been to Mumbai FC. I've already played. Like I was in Bombay. I've been to Shillong. I've been to Kashmir. I've been to Kolkata. And I've been to Punjab for tournaments and stuff like that. But Shillong and Kolkata or something else. Like, it's a complete different scenario that side, because they really don't care about cricket or any other sport. All they care about is football.
I suppose Bombay is like, Mumbai is the least preferable in that sense. Right?
Yes, totally. Because Mumbai doesn't have professional clubs, to be honest. Maharashtra itself has only one club, Mumbai City FC, which I'm sure you all know about. Yep. But sadly, they don't have a lot of Bombay players, only two or three players from Bombay. And then they prefer players from other state and players who've already played in the higher division and stuff like that. So Bombay, actually Maharashtra for that matter, is really struggling with football because we don't really have clubs. And even if we get a good club, it's very difficult for them to find sponsors because nobody really wants to sponsor or invest into football.
So Zohib, two questions now. So, firstly, now that you brought up Mumbai, we don't really have a football stadium here also. So
There is.
There's
only one stadium.
Yeah, but Exactly. There's only one. Exactly. So that's the problem, right? And so in a city like Mumbai.
Exactly my point. So we are lacking, like we are years behind. Even if you compare it with Goa or say Calcutta is really way ahead of it. Like you can't even compare. I'm telling you, Bombay is really behind. Mumbai is really struggling with in terms of football, because a lot of players who I know, they're very talented and they're young and they want to choose football as a career, but they can't, because obviously at some point you need some kind of stability, and Bombay doesn't have football clubs. Like we just have Mumbai City FC, and I don't have anything against them, but they don't prefer a Bombay player. They don't really. Otherwise, if you go to Goa, you'll see a lot of Goan players in the Goa FC. If you go to Atletico, the
Mohun Bagan now,
it is now Mohun Bagan, ATK, they prefer Bengali players in their team because they get more fan base that way.
Right.
If you see, if you go for a Mumbai City FC match, I'm not kidding, you'll find like 200 people, 300 people like that. Like the fan following for Mumbai City FC is like really low, not that great in the stadium.
Which brings me to my next question, Zoe. You mentioned you played in Shillong. Now, most of the, let's say like most of the people who represent India in football are from the Northeast.
From Northeast, let's face
it. Yeah. So
it's because they have a good infrastructure. Shillong,
So was the Shillong League the league where you thought you saw the most talented players from our country playing in?
I wouldn't call it really talented, but they were the fastest players I've seen in India were from Shillong, because they are very fit, because it's a high altitude area and they focus, and it's a hilly area. So for them, it's in their blood, like running and all these things, it's all in their blood. Like even if you see a 49-year-old man, he'll be fit. Like he won't be like how our Mumbai people are, like, you know, the normal pons and little bit, they'll be very fit, even a 49-year-old. But having said that, they have a great infrastructure in terms of football. They have all sorts of division, like from first, second, and then they have the super division and they have the elite division. All these divisions are very well organized. So
Zoe, one thing that you mentioned, which is very interesting about the infrastructure, how Mumbai severely lacks infrastructure, and it lacks infrastructure. There are a lot of there aren't too many Maharashtrian or Mumbai players getting to the Mumbai FC, because that it also leads to a low fan following as compared to Northeast, where there's good infrastructure, grassroots levels, all of that. But then one thing you also mentioned in terms of how football players are respected in the Northeast as compared to Mumbai, and also like how there is financially it's better off for them in the Northeast as compared to Mumbai. Can you like expand a little bit more on this? Like what are the major differences you saw out there in both the cities?
So what you can really say is in terms of infrastructure and in terms of league organization, in terms of professional clubs. So I'll tell you, in Bombay, if you really look at the elite division, the professional clubs that practice every single day from Monday to Friday and weekends off, because generally weekends are the matches. Either Saturday or Sunday will be your match. So what happens is... in Bombay, the professional teams practice only... most of the professional teams practice... practice means the elite division teams. Practice only thrice a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So suppose if you've gone for a... if you have practice on Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday. So suppose you missed a practice on Saturday. So then you have a long gap in Shillong, in Kolkata. If you're playing in the elite division, the top division of the state or the city, they have practice Monday to Friday. Every single day, every morning, from Monday to Friday. And they'll probably keep like gym sessions or extra fitness session or tactical sessions and stuff like that. So this in Bombay doesn't have all of this. Bombay just have like one or two clubs which are practicing. These are the teams that practice every day. So there's this team called Air India and there's another team called ONGC. Both are government teams. They can shut anytime. They can shut anytime. If you go and ask the coach also, okay, is the team forming this year? They would be like, you're not too sure about it. We are not too sure about if the team is going to happen or not. Every year, if you ask the coach, when are the trials or something like that? So we never know, because Air India, you know, is going in debt. Like they are going in their losses. So no, they don't want to like, you know, put in money into their because it's a government team. So why would anyone want to anyway come for the...
Which kind of brings me to my question. So with cricket, we've seen famously there are a lot of PSUs, which PSUs, their teams, railways teams or state teams. And PSUs really are a way for people to maintain a career in cricket and have some stable income. So do you think that's a possibility in football, or is it like
what happens to get into a government team, especially railways? You need to represent the state. Now Maharashtra and Bombay itself is, our population is like massive. Okay, you can't just like get 18 players, out of which 4 players have to be under 21 or under 20. Sorry, my bad. Under 20. 4 players have to be under 20 in the state team. So obviously, even if they get selected for the state team, they're not going to go and choose a job. They'll probably try for a professional club. Okay. And the other players, 16 players, they are already from the state teams. So it's very difficult to break into the government jobs or to get into a government team. Because you can't play for a government team just like that. You need to. They'll provide you a job. They'll give all that that way stability and assurity is there because they're giving you a government job in terms of. But the problem
if you get into that 20.
Yeah. Also, suppose you get into a government team. Okay. Now someone like Malu, suppose, okay, who comes from a decent background and he's a nice guy and he has something in his mind, or he's done his graduation and he's studied abroad and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm just saying. You think he would want to be a ticket collector? No. Like if a professional player who's coming from a good background, he wouldn't want to be a ticket collector or just stand and, you know, hold the file. So these jobs are not really proper jobs. They're just giving you salary. Salary is also very not that great. I can tell you this for a fact, that you will never reach a lakh very easily. And a lakh for today's world is nothing in terms of if you're running a house. Okay. So after years of hard work, you'll reach to that level where you'll be like, okay, I'm at least doing decent in life. Otherwise, you'll be struggling all your life and you'll be doing a government job. You have that assurity that you have a government job, but you won't be satisfied with yourself because you're not really doing anything that great. And you're not playing professionally. Yeah, you're just playing the state league.
So, correct. So, even though it just about helps you stay with your beloved sport, you know that you're not progressing in a sport or your job, so to speak.
Yeah.
The pay is nowhere close to what you would
expect. Yeah, exactly.
What is required? Forget the expectation. Yeah. If you want to provide for, say, 4 people, it's not,
it's not that great.
Not enough.
Yeah. You know, especially not in a city like Bombay, not in a city like Mumbai, it's very, very difficult for sure.
And sadly, I'll tell you, all these state teams, Maharashtra has this quota. Like, you need to have 2 players from Nagpur, 2 players from Kolhapur. So, can you imagine, like, from Bombay, only 6 or 7 players get to play, out of which one or two will be from railways or something like that. So, you understand how messed up.
So there is no factoring in for how much population stays in
which part of exactly.
This reminds me, Zoe, how you had mentioned that a lot of players, even they want to play professionally, but they end up doing a lot of odd jobs, and the level of
sadly.
So, do you think with ISL coming in, there's a little bit more money and perhaps players are getting a little bit better exposure or even they are able to support themselves financially?
Only with ISL, only in the ISL. And that too, see, any club that gives you a contract, they see if you're young and if you're really talented, then only you'll be lucky enough to get a 2-year contract, 3-year contract. Otherwise, if you're like, you know, they check your background, what about your injuries and stuff like that. All this is done very professionally So it all depends. And ISL also has 10 clubs. Can you imagine? Like India has only 10 clubs. And earlier there was I-League. So I-League has now become the second tier of Indian football and ISL has become the main league in India. What happens is you 1 year you get into ISL, you're treated like a star, like you've been given facilities, you've been given everything. You don't perform, you don't stand up to the mark. What happens is next year you don't get the contract renewal, or there's some problem. Then you'll have to start from I-League again, or you'll have to play I-League 2. If you cross 25, then you'll have to start all over again. You have to come down, perform. Only if you get playing time, if you don't have injuries, only then you'll be able to again reach out to ISL.
And then, so Zoe, it's very difficult. In terms of players that you played with, or you as well, is there a thought process of opportunities outside of India as well, thinking about that? Are there any people looking to bring in Indian players to, you know, I mean, ideally,
no,
Europe,
no,
but
no.
Even like teams in the Middle East, teams in the East or Southeast Asia, anything?
I've been to Middle East. I've lived in Qatar for like 8 months. I've lived in Qatar, like, and I was playing like a smaller division football over there. Like, it was the states super division, like the state's lower division, not the country's lower division, but the state's lower division.
Yeah.
So for them, it's in their mindset that, you know what, Indians cannot play football. It's that way. A lot of people, when I was playing there, they didn't expect me to be decent enough. So what they told me was, if anybody asked you where you're from, just tell them you're from Iran or some Middle East country where you look. Tell them, because they probably wouldn't be able to digest that I'm from India. And they would want that. They wouldn't want to get that out of their head that, you know, some Indians coming and playing so well and he's amongst us and stuff like that. A lot of times when I told them that I'm from India, they didn't believe me. They're like, no, you're from some other country. A lot of people thought I'm from Iran. A lot of people thought I'm from Thailand. A lot of people thought I'm from Bhutan. Yeah, but definitely not an Indian, because I'm talking about Middle East. And even in terms of other European countries, so you cannot even touch, because even our captain, Sunil Chhetri, has gone to Portugal. And if you see his interviews, he'll tell you how far we are from that standard. No Indians. So many Indians you see going to Spain and going to other American, Canadian clubs, and then they don't perform and then they come back. They just somehow use that. Their agents go. Actually, they're not even like going. Their agents try really hard. And then they see the videos, and then they see, even after seeing the videos, they call them for a trial. So that's really sad. Like, you know, they have a set mindset that, you know, India is not yet there.
So, you know, Zoeb, you mentioned
Zoeb,
Sunil Chhetri. So what will it take for India to produce a Bhaichung Bhutia, Sunil Chhetri, on a consistent basis? Why is it like they come in like one?
They need to play. Yeah. So what happens is they need to get more playing time. Yeah. Like, see, I'll tell you, since the ISL's come, everyone thinks ISL is doing great. It is doing, it is actually doing quite well. But the thing is, ISL is more like a platform for the foreigners. It is a platform for the Indians as well and for the youngsters. But what happens is, you very rarely you see an Indian striker or an Indian center mid or something like that. Very few clubs will have that trust. Otherwise, it's very difficult. And also, see, I'll tell you, Sunil Chhetri, he's been there for so many years. It's also because of that mindset. Not everyone's that strong mentally. He's gone to Kansas City and he's gone to Sporting Lisbon and he's performed all over there. And then even after performing there, he was in the Sporting Lisbon B team. Even in Kansas City, after performing, he would come as a sub in the last 15 minutes, 10 minutes. So he has great experience. They've got a lot of more playing time. Until and unless Indian players start playing as a striker. Even in the I-League, if you see. Even in the I-League, the foreigner will be the limelight, playing as a striker, playing as a midfielder, playing as a main defender. Very few clubs will have that trust. And then what happens if the player gets injured, then he has to like start all over again, start from right back. Or it's very different. Yeah, like it's completely...
Squad filling roles are...
Yes.
For well, us, and the limelight is kind of on...
The foreigners.
The club to bring in a foreign player to
push
the team ahead. Yeah.
So I'll tell you,
what was your I-League experience? Like your personal I-League experience?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to play a lot of matches when I was playing in Mohammedan and Lone Star Kashmir. Mumbai FC, I never got to, like Mumbai FC, I was nowhere. I was just there in the Bombay Division team, the MDFA team. But when I was playing in Mohammedan Sporting and I was playing in Kashmir, that time I got very little of that experience, but I've learned a lot in that little bit, whatever I've played. A lot of times I had to play out of position because I just wanted to be there in the starting lineup. So they gave me a chance. And the one game they start. So I'll tell you, there's a funny incident. When I was in Lone Star, first of all, Lone Star, Kashmir, obviously, we all know, is really cold. Like, it's minus. The temperature is in minus. So any player can get injured anytime. So you might have to fill in for anyone anytime. And since when I was in India Academy, the coach, all the coaches and all, they definitely have their favorites. So they prefer to have someone playing in a particular role. So that for that position, you have to forget that you'll ever get into that play. You'll ever get to play as a center defensive midfielder or center attacking midfielder. You'll have to try somewhere else where you see, okay, this guy is, you know, limping, and let's fill in for him, and, you know, let's perform or something like that. Like, I used to literally pray, okay, someday if some right back gets injured, or because right back is the safest position for me because I'm a right foot player and I'm good with I used to be very, very, very good with my fitness. So I thought right back, if not midfield, I'll just switch to right back. So I'll play right back. So I would always hope for Kiara, you know what, this guy doesn't perform or something, and I get to like my coach gives me a chance to perform. So I got to learn a lot in the I-League to play in different positions in terms of, even in the academy, India Football Academy, under 17 academy. Also, I learned to play physically and rough, because when you're playing with your friends and you're playing with the locals, it's very nice. And, you know, the tackles also, like, even if you hurt someone unintentionally, it becomes a, oh, why are you doing this, bro? Take it easy. What is wrong with you, bro? And, like, you know, that whole, the place changes completely. And when you're playing professionally, you literally have to be so physically and mentally strong that if this guy receives the ball and turns, I'm dead. So you better go there and, like, hit him hard. No. Even if you can clear the ball, no, you have to go really hard on the tackle and make sure that the second time he's receiving the ball, you don't have to let him turn. Or maybe he has that fear, okay, this guy's gonna come and, like, hit me. So that's what I learned in the I-League. My playing in the second division I-League experience is that, you know, I got to learn to play physically hard.
That's one thing I learned. The transition from friendly football to, like, what professional football is going to get like, right? It's very different. Like, you right now, and you are absolutely right. Like, the number of times you played football and someone scrimmed about a foul is too many.
So you, I'm sure you already know about all these turfs that are in Bombay, the five-a-side, seven-a-side turfs. So if you see a lot of players, this is how the scenario is. Like, you know, they book from 6 to 7, they come by 6:15. Those 15 minutes are gone. So you start by, say, like 6:15, and then you have 45 minutes to play. And then that also, someone's scraping about the injury, someone's scraping about the ball, or the you know, the team's being unfair and stuff like that. So those 45 minutes also, you haven't really played. And 15 minutes, the players were late. They'll come and they're like, what's up, bro? Yeah, let's smoke a stuff. So when you're playing recreationally, like, it's a complete... Whereas if you're going for a professional I-League or a state elite division game, you have to be there like 1 hour before to see the ground, visualize. The coach tells you the team. Then he tells you what to do, what not to do, which player you have to be aware of. And if there's some really speedy fellow, you have to make sure you've given him enough distance. And so all these things have to be done. This mentality is like nowhere close to when you're playing a five-a-side, seven-a-side playing with your friend. And since the lockdown, I've been only playing five-a-side, seven-a-side with my friends.
That's absolutely great, Zoeb. But now, since we are running out of time, I know Rishabh had some fun questions for you. So Rishabh, can you go ahead with it?
So we just want to talk a little bit about your inspiration when you're growing up. From an Indian perspective, from Indian players, who was your, like, a player that you've looked up to, you wanted to emulate?
So I'll tell you this. Sadly, my inspiration is already retired. But this is a very sad... I'm sorry, like, I'm just stretching this a bit, but I really wanted this to come up.
Go for it.
The thing is, we don't know the Indian players. Like, if I tell you Mehtab Hussain, my inspiration... Like, I had goosebumps when I saw him play. I had only seen him on TV play. And that too, that time, there was Z Sports. And they would telecast I-League. Only there was no other event happening. So they would put I-League. Otherwise, like, the broadcasting rights were such that, you know, if there was... And then there was Sony. So 10 Sports, if you remember, earlier. Yep. So they used to telecast the I-League matches on that. And then ISL came and the Star collaboration happened and all that. But like even now, so many Indian players you must be not even knowing of. So there was this player called Mehtab Hussain, and he was my inspiration.
Mohan Bagan and East Bengal, both, right?
Yes.
For Mohan Bagan and
I'm really glad that you know him. So he played for East Bengal, he played for Mohan Bagan, he played for Kerala Blasters in his last years of league. He played for Jamshedpur in the ISL. So I used to watch him every time, and he was an amazing player. Like, I can vouch for it. Like, had he gotten proper guidance, he would play in the Spanish leagues and stuff like that. He actually went for a trial in a Spanish first division, but he didn't get through, sadly. But he was an amazing player. He was my inspiration, like, who later became a mentor for me, like, because I started playing professionally too. And then it was his late days when he was about to retire, and that's when I started, you know. So yeah, he was something that who I really look up to into Indian football. Obviously, there was Sunil Chhetri, who's really, really amazing as a player and as a person as well. And he's the only player, I think, who's celebrated and who people know in Indian football as of now. Okay, if you talk about other players, only the people who really watch Indian football would know, or they must have heard of. I'm really shocked that how does Mazhar know about Mehtab Bhai? Like, you know, it's a very...
I used to watch I-League as well, and I follow ISL. So,
and I'll tell you one strange thing about Indian football, that what you see on TV is completely different on what you see on the field. So if you haven't witnessed them, because I'll tell you, when you're watching I-League, you're actually wondering, why are they just hitting the ball? Why are they just clearing the ball? But if you go there, they're all the passes that they're doing, they all make sense. And you'll realize the intensity of the game once you're on the field or you're in the stadium.
So another one I wanted to ask you is, so in your journey, who was your biggest, like a big coach who brought out the best in you? Someone who really, like, really believed in you?
Well, starting out with Mumbai FC, there was this coach called Santosh Kashyap who chose me in the team. And then later on, I was under Arshad Sir. They definitely, like, really tried to train me in terms of the professional aspect of the game, everything related to the game. But my favorite coach was the one who was in Shillong. His name was Coach Darlong, and he was the coach of the team called North East United. Assistant, he was the coach. He was a part of the coaching team that time in North East United team. The year earlier when I played under him, when I started playing for him, he made me realize the importance of fitness in football. He said, you know, everyone can pass the ball and everyone can, you know, shoot, but not every player can run throughout the 90 minutes. Like, if I get a player who's played at college level, you'll see a lot of us in this podcast itself. I'm sure if you all play football, some of us will have like good shooting skill, good passing skill, good long ball skill. But physical fitness is something that you develop with time, and you have to keep maintaining that. That's discipline. So he made me realize how important it is to have discipline in terms of the game. Like, you need to be below 14% fat percentage within your body. You need to be willing to play at least 120 minutes, not just 90 minutes. You should be willing to play 120 minutes, because that 120 minutes ka pressure, you have to put in that 90 minutes. So that way. So he was one coach who really changed my thought process, who helped me play in my position where I always loved playing as a center midfielder. So he really believed in me. And that when I was in Shillong, I was the fittest. I was on the peak of my game. And then unfortunately, I got injuries. I met with an accident, and then things changed for me. And then I started, like, you know, playing football at a semi-pro level, and not stop going for professional clubs and stuff like that. Because also, they don't give you a lot of assurity. They don't give you like career satisfaction. So that way, I would say Coach Darlong was one coach who really, really helped me a lot.
You know, one thing I'd like to know from you, Zoeb. So, like, when you were in Shillong, can you, like, let our viewers and listeners know, what was your training schedule like? Like, what was expected out of an elite player to train and take care of themselves? So, what did they do?
So, every morning, Monday to Saturday, okay, we had... Saturday also was a working day, because people love football over there. Okay, so if you tell them we are training on Sunday also, they would happily come. Okay, no one would sulk. They'll be like, oh, definitely. Like, people just... So we had a squad of 30 players. 28 players, sorry. In my team where I played, they promoted only the local talents. And I was the only player, me and there was another guy, we were the only two players from the different state. The rest all were local. Okay, and practice would start at 6:30 a.m. in the morning. It would end by 8, 1.5 hour of training. Okay. Then in the evening, we would have extra fitness session or a gym session or a tactical session, something like that. In the evening, around 4 o'clock to 5:30, again, another 1.5 hour, where they would tell you, because football, a lot of people who don't play professionally think football is just like on the field. But how you even have to train your mind, and you know, a lot of times you have to visualize the game. If you're playing a game on Saturday, you have to start visualizing that you're performing better. You have to move in that position. You have to have certain movements. You have to understand the team you're playing against. You have to understand their strategy, their strength, their weakness, and stuff like that. So we had morning 6:30 to 8 every single day. And 6:30 means 6:30. You cannot be late. Reporting time would be 6:15. You have to report 15 minutes early. Kit up means we are generally in our shorts and jersey. We just have to wear studs and whatever if you have to tape or something. And then we start by 6:30 sharp every single day. And as the practice finishes, we would go in our respective accommodation. Local players would go into their places. And then the evening would again meet. And then we would have like a tactical session, fitness session and stuff like that in Shillong.
No, that's a great point. Because actually, when you're growing up thinking of football, you're like, this is an amazing thing. You just go and play football and study. But obviously, there's way, way, way more that goes into it that we finally now see. And Zoe, I want to ask you, so, you know, obviously, I'm sure it's an amazing thing to be able, you know, when you're out on the field playing. But what are the toughest parts of the job? The things that were really tough? Yeah.
In football? Sadly, in Indian football, because I'm talking about Indian football right now, we have to struggle a lot with everything. Every damn thing we have to struggle a lot with. I haven't played in the ISL. I haven't really got much of playing time in the I-League or in the senior I-League. So, from whatever I saw, from whatever I realized, we struggle a lot with recovery. Okay, we struggle a lot. Because if you played 90 minutes, the other day, only ISL has now got this professional environment and they've got a match here and they've got stuff like that. But a lot of state professional teams and the district professional teams and the other teams, even the I-League 2 division teams, they don't have a team match here. They don't have a proper sports nutritionist. Like, I'll tell you this experience of mine. I was playing in the state team, state professional team, and I had to recover because the guy who was playing against me was very, very, very speedy. And as I mentioned, I used to be a center half. So when I was playing right back, the guy who was playing left wing with me, opposite me, he was very quick. And he didn't give me a chance to breathe. And then I started making errors in the game. And then during the halftime, we obviously don't have a nutritionist. We don't have all you have is a physiotherapist and a coach. And physiotherapist also, like, it's provided by the league organizers. Not, you don't have a personal. So I was struggling to recover. And can you imagine when I asked them, oh God, I'm really struggling to recover. So they gave me, Farsan Chuda. He gave me Farsan Chuda and he said, khale, khale, and I was wondering, dude, I'm struggling to recover. This guy is like ruining my happiness. He's making me run left, right, and center. And you're giving me some Farsan Chuda or something like that. And how am I going to perform? Like, how am I going to go up? And he said, nobody, me, nothing, nothing.
Nobody so, ever ate Farsan to recover from anything.
No, anything, exactly. And he's telling me because that's all he had. My coach, that's all he had in his bag that I'm sure he must have bought from some railway station, some chakli chura. And he's telling me, khalo abhi thoda khali pet khel raho na. I said, haan, khali pet khel raho. But I'm used to, I train empty stomach, so I know I cannot eat before a match because I feel heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm telling
I agree with that.
What to tell you? So that way we struggle with everything. As a player, you struggle with everything. In terms of financially, like I am working part-time. I'm a strength and conditioning coach. Okay. I train people. I'm into Olympic lifting and I look after a gym and stuff like that. But people see, suppose even when I was in Shamak, Malu should know this, like Shamak used to be a only evening thing for me. Like, you know, I would go at 4 o'clock to take some dance classes, and because dancing was also one of my hobbies, and I would just go there to make money. To be honest, I was in Shamak. I started it off as a passion, dancing as a passion. And then because Shamak is such a great guy, and then he gave me so much to, you know, make from it. As like, so I would be going and just, my whole idea was to just make money along with playing football. So, and not everyone's fortunate enough to make that money part-time. You know, a lot of jobs, they require your time. So financially also you'll struggle, physically also you'll struggle, mentally also. And God forbid if you've got an injury, because the clubs, only in the ISL or maybe some I-League clubs, they reimburse. But if you're playing some other I-League clubs and you're playing in the state professional team or some team, you are not at all reimbursed also for the if you've got an injury. And you never know for how long you're going to be out. And physiotherapy and recovery and all these things are very expensive. To even to go to a nutritionist and get a proper diet and idea for how to recover faster, it's all that. Even to get an opinion is very expensive. So you struggle with everything, bro. Financially, physically, mentally, and even there's no stability in terms of career-wise. A lot of players, they live from year to year. So today they're playing in Kolkata. They know it for a fact. In 5 months, they'll be in some different state playing for some other club. So such is life.
Zoe, how does contracting work for you? And does that vary by different league? Is the contracting based on match? Is it based on an annual? Is there anything like even more
than
ever?
In ISL, if you're young, you get like a 3-year contract or a 2-year contract. In I-League, you get contracts sometimes on monthly basis also. Some clubs, they provide you contract on for 5 months there because they know the league is going to be, I-League is going to be 3 months, 4 months. And the preseason will start like 1 month before the season starts. They're going to pay you like for 4 or 5 months or stuff like that.
They intentionally contract you only for the month of like say preseason and during the season.
Yes.
That's abysmal. I'm really sorry to say. But
yeah, it's a business. And also because India doesn't really have a good sponsorship deal or a good collaboration with any other professional club abroad or something like that. We don't have it in the I-League or most of the leagues, with most of the teams. What happens is they also can't help it because in the end, they're paying from their pocket. The clubs are paying from their pocket. So you can't really do much about it. In the clubs in Bombay, they pay professional clubs in Bombay that play in the elite division. Some teams pay match to match. And it's, if I tell you how much they pay, it's like, it's not even like worth stepping on the field. It's always, you rather go and play for your passion rather than just, you know, getting some money out of it. But even to play in the elite division, you need to travel to the training ground and you need to travel to from one side of the city to the other. So I'll tell you, most of the training grounds, actually 80% of the training grounds are in Churchgate. And most players, they stay in Virar, Vasai, Andheri, Bandra. So they have to travel all the way to the other side of the town. And, you know, so imagine traveling all the way there. You're spending money on traveling. And then if you've traveled there, after training, you'll obviously need some kind of refreshment or something to recover. And if you need one of follow
which
up
proper diet and all this. Which is not Farsan, for the love of God. It is not Farsan. Please let everyone know that no athlete is eating Farsan mid-game, pre-game, post-game.
Idea was for the coach was just eat something. So he had Farsan, so he gave me Farsan. He's like, he's telling me... that coach, poor guy, he didn't know really a lot
it's
about
not technical. You know, he's, it's not even his fault. Like, I mean,
exactly.
No one's been
don't have
awareness.
Like that.
No.
I'm telling you, in one of the matches, when we were playing in Bombay. Before the match, the team had organized some kind of refreshment, and they was giving before the match, they were giving us one banana, a vada pav, and chai. So I was actually wondering, ye khake khelna hai ki matlab letna hai.
Exactly. So if this actually reminds me of one school incident. So we played some international school in basketball, and we beat them. So after we won, as a treat, our coach gave us bought us fruity, and the team which lost was this international school, right? So they are Germans and all of these guys playing, and they were giving Gatorade. We were like, oh, it's okay, you lost, and they all got Gatorade bottles, and we are just standing there and looking at them. We were like, we just beat you by 35 points, and here we are sipping on fruity, and you are getting Gatorade and a towel with your initials and all. I was like, man, that's when it really hit me.
Which school were you in?
Yeah, I was in St. Mary's, ICS.
Okay, so I'll tell you this very funny incident. If there's this team in Bombay, okay, obviously can't name it, but they hired a bus that was traveling to Goa for a second division I-League match. That team in Bombay, 5 years ago, used to play the second division I-League. Now it's shut. The team, they're not playing in the I-League anymore. But they were playing in the second division I-League, and they hired a bus from Bombay to Goa. And they were playing in Goa, the match. So what happened was, Sunday afternoon was the match, and they left from here Saturday morning. So they reached Sunday afternoon, and they didn't even have like a hotel or anything to stay. So they went directly to the stadium, and the coach told them sleep for an hour. Okay, soja tum log abhi ek ghanta rest karo, thoda recover karo, aur fir hum log khelega. And my friends were, and you won't believe, they got one banana, something as good as a vada pav, and something that sort. And this is a second division I-League match. They lost the match and they returned the same day.
Oh, God.
They didn't even say. And they were playing against...
Fruity feels good now. So, Fruity feels good now.
And then, after the match, when they got back, it's like a home and away thing, right? So, in football, obviously, you know a home and away thing. So, when they were playing in Bombay, the matches were happening in this stadium called All Saints, which was in Bhiwandi. You know how far Bhiwandi is, right? From here. So, they were training at KSA ground, the Karnataka South Association ground, which is in Churchgate, near the station. So, they were training there. And then, when the match was supposed to be on Sunday, again, it was a Sunday. So, they played Denpo Sports Club, which is one of the highest reputed clubs in India. So, they were playing against Denpo at All Saints Bhiwandi. So, just they never got to practice at All Saints or anything. They just straight away went for the match. So, they lost badly against this big club. And what happened was, a friend of mine, he knew a lot of players from Denpo. See, he asked them, "Ke tum log kab aaye Bombay?" He said, "Hum log to ek hafta se Bombay mein hi hai. Hum log idhar hi reh rahe hai, idhar Bhiwandi mein Bhiwandi. Hum log idhar practice mein practice kar rahe hai yahan par. Hum log ek hafte se." तो ये लाइक तुम लोग जा कब रहे हैं? लाइक कल थोड़ा कल भी है प्रैक्टिस यहाँ पर रिकवरी और फिर हम लोग कल रात को जा रहे हैं. सो कैन यू इमेजिन दिस सिनेरियो, लाइक अ होम टीम नॉट प्लेइंग एट देयर ओन स्टेडियम, द ऑपोजिट टीम, द अवे टीम दैट कम्स प्लेज इन द होम टीम स्टेडियम,
डज द रिकवरी देयर, डज द रिकवरी देयर.
सो या आल्सो आई लाइक टू ब्रिंग समथिंग टू योर नोटिस. आई डोंट नो इफ यू गाइस हैव हर्ड ऑफ, since we're talking about Indian football, we've only been talking what it is, okay? So, I recently discovered Barcelona Academy and all the other Spanish academies, okay? If your child is 6, they don't take you in the academy at the grassroots level, where you pay and let your kid learn. Even on that level, they don't take your child. If your child is 6, if he's 4.5, only then they'll take him. Because that's the grassroots level for a professional football academy. And in India, if you, even if you're 25, they'll tell you, you're giving us money. Yes, come join us. That's how it is. So that's why we are stuck. We are stuck with like the thought process.
Politics.
Politics, a lot of other stuff. Yeah, like there's no awareness, I would say. Like, you know, this I discovered some time back that, you know, even if you're sick, they don't take you. 1.5 year old late, no. You need to be 4 for that mentality to start learning from. That's why you see all these young players, talented players. You see these videos on Instagram and Facebook. Like, they are, yeah. You see of these young kids, they are damn good. It's because they started at a very young age and they're tactically and technically very strong.
So, Zohar, that brings a good point. And we were kind of discussing this, right? How to grow football culture in India as a whole, right? Because like you said, you know, it's huge in Goa, it's huge in Kerala, it's huge in the Northeast. So what can other cities like maybe like Mumbai, Bangalore, it's growing, but what, you know, needs to be done to foster that spirit and that culture so from a young age I'll people tell you, can start?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, now it's growing with time because what has happened is they've started organizing a lot of under 15, under 17 leagues, under 19 leagues in the state itself. So from last year, whatever I have seen, I felt like, okay, it's growing in Bombay itself. Like, there are a lot of clubs coming in. But the only thing is, you tell me how many kids from Cathedral or from how many kids from Dhirubhai Ambani or how many kids from Jamnabai. You see these high funda schools, like, you know, how many kids their parents would allow their kids to put their time into football? Okay, he's playing very well in the under 17, under 19. He's a very good player. The coach tells the parents, okay, he's a very good player. You should let him play. Okay, Max, how much is he going to earn? What is he going to make out of it? And then I have seen players who come from a very educated and a good-doing background from their family, good families and stuff like that. But what happens is they're playing, they've traveled good. They've gone to Salgaonkar, they've gone to Dempo, they've played in the different league. Then what happens is, okay, they have to get married at some point of time in life. And then they will have to run a family. Then what will happen? I'll tell you, tops, a state league level player, a state level professional I league player, state level player, he doesn't earn more than 20k, 25k. I'm giving you a rough, it's thoda aage piche, but that's how it is. In Bombay, what do I tell you? It's not even above 10k. Players get 8, 7, like that. In the top league of the state or in the city, huh? In Bombay. So only
in Bombay,
one or
that
two teams
won't cover your travel. Yeah. I'm pretty
nothing,
sure
nothing, nothing.
If you travel everywhere.
A lot of players, they put in money, and even you won't believe. Like, I know players, really talented players. They end up putting in so much money. They end up borrowing money, in fact, to travel and to help them get physiotherapy sessions and stuff like that. And then in the end, what happens is that they end up going to join Coil Center because they have to clear the debt, and then they have to end up playing other things like that.
You're not really seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, right? You do these things, you do so much. You're basically taking on debt to progress in your footballing career, but it's leading to not as much, right? So then you drop out midway, you cut your losses at some point.
Most of the professional teams that pay are the banks. Like, pay means what? 5k, 7k, 10k, like that. Are the banks. Like, Union Bank of India has a team. The Dena Bank, which is now Bank of Baroda, has a team. Bank of India has a team. So many government banks, they have a team. Then railways, obviously, you can't just go and play for them. You need to be selected to get into the job recruitment criteria, and then they let you play for them. So it's like that. A lot of times you play for them and then you don't even get paid. This is all over India. Even in the I League, you'll see so many problems happening with players because they don't get paid. The clubs tell you, we'll give you a lump sum amount in the end. It's on the contract. And then in the end, it's doomed. Like, they say, okay, we are doomed. Like, we don't have money. What are you going to do about it? You obviously, which football player would want to go to a court and, you know, all these hassle, they require a lot of time. Nobody wants to get into that. No sportsman would want to waste his time there, because all these things, and again, it's a long janjat. So then players end up giving it away. Okay, aaya to aaya, nahi to fir then let's see.
No, absolutely, Zoeb. Everything that you mentioned, for all our viewers and listeners, it's quite eye-opening. It's been eye-opening for us also. We got a lot of information from you. Thank you so much for discussing your career with us, discussing your passion for the game and how whatever you've achieved in the game and all the difficulties you faced and where Indian football stands today. Thank you so much for your time for discussing all of this with us. It was a pleasure having you on our podcast.
My pleasure.
And for all our viewers and listeners, Zoeb is an amazing strength coach, strength and conditioning coach and trainer. So we will put down his links in our description. You guys can go and check him out. And follow our page, like our previous content. The description will be there below. Thank you for tuning in and we shall see you guys next week again. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Zoeb.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.